we've done our best. We've worked and worked and worked like slaves that were driven by a whip. And we appreciate the young boys, Junior and Gary, who came up here last Thursday with a truck from Bakersfield and hauled off nearly all of the trash behind the church here. And it was hot. And those boys worked like Trojans as galley slaves. They sweated and sweated. We hauled a truckload of trash over to the city dump. And we piled it in with the rest of the trash over there. But we still have some more out here to get. And I want to thank everyone who's had a part in cleaning up this churchyard, because you know what a mess it was. And we've been at it, Brother Tom, about 2 or 3 months, haven't we? About 2 or 3 months. And finally, we got cleaned up. Now this afternoon, Brother Tim Phillips and his boys will do some tree trimming around these trees here and make it look even better. So we appreciate everything that's being done to shape up things around here and make it look as if respectable people worshiped at this place. Now, if you have your Bibles, and please excuse my cracked voice. I'm so sorry. I have a harsh voice today because there's something went wrong in my stomach last Monday night. And I became weak, and I've been weak all the week. Weak all the week. You know, when a man goes down in body, his voice goes out. I don't know why it is, but they're tied together. And so please excuse me, and I'll do my best to get my message across today. Let's turn to the 21st chapter of Luke and verse number 9. Luke 9 and Luke 21 and 9. That's where we start today. Luke 21 and 9. This is a mighty good verse. Luke 21 and 9. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Now that's a good old English expression, about 200 or 300 years old, by and by. It's a good expression. When ye shall hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. Well, we hear wars about the Falklands, Beirut, Lebanon, El Salvador, Afghanistan, Poland, Africa. We hear wars about different places in the world, and we hear about their piling military hardware on the island of Cuba. And old Brezhnev said, I'm going to get you Americans. I'm going to pour it on you. Well, all right. When you shall hear wars and commotions, do not be terrified. You know, to be terrified means more than being scared or fearful. It means that you're in panic. You're shaking, you're trembling from the marrow of your bones out to your skin, and you can't keep still. Every limb, every part of the body is trembling, and that's the meaning of this word, terrified. Don't be terrified, says Jesus, when you hear of all these commotions and things of that kind. So we've seen people on TV fleeing from the city of Beirut, Lebanon, on foot, in carts, on mule back, horseback, donkey back, bicycles, using every means to get away from the fighting because they didn't want to be caught up in the battle. And now that Israel has taken over the city of Beirut, Lebanon, those Arabs of PLO say, well, that's all right. We'll get you anyway. You can scatter us out all over the Middle East, but we're going to form together in bands, and we're going to keep on killing Jews. That's what Yasser Arafat said, and we expect that to happen. But anyway, the Arabs are on the losing side, and the Russians are on the losing side. They're praising the PLO. They're bragging on them. They say, boys, keep right in there. You won anyway. You won the battle. So the Russians are on the wrong side. The PLO are on the wrong side. And God and his people are going to win at the last. keep going. Then said he unto them in verse number 10, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Now, that is true. That's been true in all centuries. That has been true in all centuries, and I guess it will continue to be true. Incidentally, that word commotions in verse number 9 means to be unsettled. It means to be disturbed. It means to be disordered. And this country has been in that condition ever since December the 7th, 1941. We've been in disorder and commotion and disturbance. Cities have been burned. Policemen have been killed. Citizens have been killed. And America has had no peace since the United Nations was placed here in 1945. Excuse me. And really, these verses are talking about the Jews. When ye shall hear wars and disturbances, don't be terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not immediate. These things must first come to pass. I wonder why. Because the devil is the head of the nations. The devil and his demons are in control of the nations. Demonized men control the nations. All nations are ruled by men who are controlled by the devil. And when you have that, you have strife and turmoil and tension and fightings and things of that kind, and you're not going to have peace and quietness in the world. As soon as the devil is thrown to the bottomless pit, along with the demons and all unbelievers, then you're going to see quietness come to this world. Then you're going to see peace, real, honest to goodness, genuine peace. But until that time comes, men will talk peace and talk peace, but that's all they're going to have is just talk, a lot of bull-bag stuff. Now then, let's keep reading. That was verse number 9. We'll go to verse number 10. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Nation shall be raised up over nation, and kingdom over kingdom. That means one nation will invade another and take over, as happened to Germany in World War number 2, to Eastern Europe, to Southeast Asia, and such has been going on for ages. And it will continue to go on until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Now let's go to verse number 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, in different places. Famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs shall be there from heaven. Great earthquakes. Thousands of people have been killed in earthquakes through the centuries. And famines have occurred. Starvation and pestilences. These things follow wars. Pestilences have taken their toll among the human family. And all this agrees with Satan's plan to kill people, to destroy their souls in hell. Whole populations have starved to death in past centuries because of wars. And pestilence, disease, bubonic plague, the black plague, and other things of that kind have pestered and killed the human family because they follow wars. All right? Now then, let's go to verse number 12. But before all these great signs, and before all these fearful sights, and before all earthquakes and famines and pestilences, before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and chase you, delivering you up to synagogues and to jails, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. That's what Jesus said. I remember reading one time about a man who was a great farmer. I mean, this fellow was a farmer. Boy, he could farm. He took pride in his work. And he cleaned his farm so beautifully and so well that not one sprig of grass would grow during the growing season of his crop. No grass and weeds would grow in his windrows along the hedges of the fence. He was a farmer. He loved farming. And he kept that farm spotlessly clean. but he was a tenant. I mean, he rented this farm from a landowner. Well, one day, an agent from the landowner came and said, Mister, you're going to have to move because the son of this landowner is going to get married and he and his wife are going to move on this farm. Well, that tenant, that renter, went to bed that night and he thought and thought, now I have kept this farm clean for years. I have paid the landlord his portion every year. Now I'm going to have to give it up. I don't want to do that. And he thought. Weeks went by. And just before it was time for that boy with his wife to come and move on that farm, the night before that happened, this tenant, this runner, went out and got Johnson grass seed and Bermuda grass seed and crab grass seed and all the other seeds he could get. And he sowed that farm down with all these grass seeds. Oh, I mean, he cursed that farm. Beautiful farm, clean as a floor. He cursed it with all those seeds. But the very next day, the agent from the landlord came and said, the son has decided that he would not live on this farm, and it's yours from now on, just as long as you want. And that agent never did understand why that tenant said, oh God, what have I done? That tenant never did, that agent never did understand why that tenant said that. The Jews, my friends, have been cursed for the last 2,000 and nearly 3,000 years because of the way they treated Jehovah, the God of heaven. And God said, Jews, you are going to reap Johnson grass and crab grass and Bermuda grass and old tumbleweeds and old Joshua trees as long as you live among the Gentile nations. That's what he said, you're going to be cursed. And that's what this means right here. Before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and chase you, delivering you up to synagogues and to jails, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. My name's sake. And that verse explains the reason for Jewish persecution through the centuries. And that verse explains why Adolf Hitler persecuted them when he was living in this world. All right, let's go to verse 13. Let's go to verse number 13. Verse number 13. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. It shall turn to you, unto you for a testimony to their loyalty to Christ. It will come off. It will turn out to you to your advantage. Yes, sir, that's right. Turn to your advantage. And verse number 14 says, set it not in your hearts, therefore, to meditate on a speech beforehand. Don't make preparation, in other words, ahead of time. Don't con a speech before you appear in court or synagogue. Go there without anything to say. Don't read from notes. Don't take any ideas from a prompter. Go in, sit down, and take it easy. That's what he says. I remember reading one time about a little 14-year-old boy who lived in the West with his father, and his father sent him back east to visit his aunt. And his father put him on the train, and that little 14-year-old boy sat down in the seat by himself, and he thought, well, what on earth will I do? I've got 1,000 miles to go on this train, and I don't know. I don't know what on earth to do. Well, when the train got started, the conductor came by and said, howdy, young man. Picked up his hand and shook hands with him and said some kind things to him. Then the conductor went on out the car. And a newsboy came by with candy and chewing gum and magazines and said, hey, young man, here, eat. It's all right. Go ahead, help yourself. And that young man took all the candy he could hold. He took
Well, the magazines, he took the chewing gum. And he thought, well, I don't know, I've never been treated like this before. And when he got off the train, why, there was a gentleman in an automobile. Said, come on, young man, I want you to go with me. I'm going to take you to your aunt's home. And he did. Took him right to the street, right to the home, let him off at his aunt's house, went up and knocked on the door, and said, lady, here is your nephew. Take care of him. And that little boy said, this must be a miracle. I didn't know anything like this was going to happen to me. Years later, that little boy found out that his father had made preparation ahead of time to get him to his place in safety. He had talked to the conductor. He had talked to that boy who sold the candy and the chewing gum to take care of my boy. And he also phoned ahead and said to that man who drove the automobile, he said, when my boy gets there, I want you to take care of him and take him to his aunt's home. His father did that. You know, my friends, that's the way God treats his people, and that's the way God's treating his people in this verse right here. Right here, let's go to verse number 15. For I shall give you a mouth and wisdom which all your opponents shall not be able to stand against or contradict. You don't need a lawyer. He's no good anyhow. You couldn't depend on him. Most likely he'd sell you down the river. Let lawyers alone. I'll be your mouth. I'll be your wisdom. I'll be speaking for you. The wisdom I shall give to you will overpower your opponents. No back talk. No answer. They'll be speechless. You're going to win because I will give you wisdom. That's what God said. My friends, the wisdom that comes from Almighty God, you can't beat. Oh, sir, you just can't beat it. I'll give you a mouth and wisdom, and all of your adversaries shall not be able to sass or resist. That's verse number 15. All right. Now let's go to verse number 16. You shall be betrayed by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some shall they cause to be put to death. Betray, you know, that means to give over into the hands of another, to give over into one's power or usage. In 1 Timothy 1:20, that same word means to deliver one into the power of Satan, to be harassed and tormented with evils. And this verse shows the wickedness of false religion. False religion will sell its own kinfolks to the authorities to save its own skin. It's not interested in the welfare of others. It's interested in the welfare of itself. It's selfish. It's a road hog. It feathers its own nest and leaves everybody else outside. False religion, you remember, killed Abel, the second son of Adam and Eve, second boy born into this world. And false religion drips with the blood of millions of victims since then. Verse 17 says, and on account of my name, you shall become hated by everyone. Oh, my friends, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ causes the Jews to be hated. Gentiles know that Christ came from the Jews and belongs to the Jews. And because of that, the Gentiles hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They hate the Jews. Satan is the prime force behind all this hate. And all Gentile nations hate the Jews today, even the Arabs. In some of these days, those Arabs are going to spread out from Beirut to Lebanon. They're going to form armed bands to torment and kill Jews. And the Jews will never see any rest from the torture of war. The Mideast today is loaded with hate. And when you have so much hate, there's bound to be fighting despite a peacekeeping force. I don't care, you can put 100,000 Russians or Americans or anybody in the Middle East try to keep peace, and they're not going to keep peace. They just won't do it. The Jews are not going to see a peace until Jesus Christ returns to this world. I remember reading one time about a little girl who was about 11 years old, and she was coming across the Atlantic with her parents to America from Liverpool, England. They were going to land in New York. Well, when they got into the middle of the Atlantic, that was a huge storm that hit their ship, and boy, it just blew that ship over this way and over that way, and everything that was loose in that ship would wham, against the sides of the wall. And then when the ship would go over this way, why, wham, it would hit that side of the wall. And everybody was shaken out of their beds because it was at midnight. A little girl was shaken out of her bed, and her mama was shaken out of the bed. And she said, "Mama, you reckon we're going to be all right?" She said, "Mama, where's Daddy?" Little mama said, "Daddy is on the deck." The little girl said, "Well, that's all right. I'm going back to bed. I'm going to sleep. I know everything's okay. Daddy's on deck." So, my friends, when God our Father is on deck, you and I are okay. No matter how fierce the storm may blow, no matter how the ship may wiggle and waggle and wobble, it doesn't matter about that, because God is on deck and He's in control. He's holding to the tiller wheel, and everything's going to be all right. Okay. "In your patience possess ye your souls." I want to read that as Jesus said that. Let's see. That's verse number. That is verse number 19. I want to read that. That's a good verse. "In your patience you shall win your souls." That's right. Be patient. That's what Jesus said. Don't be upset. Don't be filled with tension and turmoil. Don't try to commit suicide. "In your patience you shall win your souls." And so this verse must be explained in the light of Matthew 24 and 13. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." And this is talking about the saved Jews who will go through the great tribulation and be translated to the end of that tribulation. And in their patience they shall win. They'll come out victorious because they accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Now let's go to verse number 20. Verse number 20, and then I'm through. "But when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh." You know, I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it again, that Jerusalem has been laid waste more often than any other city on the face of the earth. And it was laid waste in the days of Titus Caesar, when his Roman legions came against that city in 70 AD. It was laid waste. And every historian in this building knows that to be true. Everybody knows that. And Jerusalem has been a waste for the last 18 or 1900 years. And it will be laid waste again in the Great Tribulation period under the armies of the Antichrist. And it will never be rebuilt as a beautiful city until Christ comes back and occupies David's throne in Jerusalem. Then Christ will be the architect, and men will serve unto him as the chief architect to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, and it will last for 1,000 years as the most beautiful city on the face of the earth, when all nations of men will go there to see the Lord Jesus Christ and to see a city that he built. Well, he didn't do it personally, of course, but he had men to do it under him. And they gladly worked for him because he's the kindest and gentlest boss that men ever worked for. Thank you, brethren. Thank you for listening so patiently. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being here. Now, we have two fine